you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. We begin with the order issued yesterday by federal judge David Carter. He's overseeing a lawsuit about homelessness in Los Angeles, and he ordered the city and county to offer shelter to the entire population that's living on the streets of Skid Row by mid-October. We're going to talk about what this means. Now, of course, city and county could choose to appeal this. It doesn't mean that the order stays in effect until mid-October, but what would it take to do it? And would this approach undermine or change what the city and county had been planning to do in the interim? Joining us to talk about the order is the president and CEO of St. Joseph Center, which works with working poor families and homeless men, women, and children, Felicia Adams Kellum. Thank you so much. We appreciate your being with us, Ms. Adams Kellum. First of all, your response to Judge Carter's order here, do you think that this will be a positive for Skid Row?
Well, thanks so much for having me. Well, we all see that Judge Carter's order is a landmark, really, in the struggle to address homelessness in Los Angeles. He thoughtfully lays out the dark and complex history that led to the explosion of homelessness we've seen in LA County. I have to say that his analysis delves deeply into the root causes, especially the ways Black people have suffered inordinately due to the federal policies like redlining, which prevented them from owning homes and building generational wealth. He notes the awful story surfaced by the LA Times about the Bruce family having its successful beachfront business stolen from them by the city of Manhattan Beach under the guise of eminent domain. And these are all incredibly important stories to tell. And Judge Carter does a service, I believe, to LA by making them part of the record and connecting them directly to where we are. But one of my chief concerns is that the story he tells encompasses policies that affected the entire county. And this is truly a countywide crisis that we're seeing. But then he built his specific order around a very small area. And, you know, I felt the same way about the initial focus around the freeways. We need a comprehensive strategy that includes Skid Row, of course, but does not exclude other important areas. Skid Row can feel like ground zero, but this order demands an extraordinarily intensive approach for a limited area and a limited number of people. And if I might add, the last homeless count found 4,662 people in Skid Row, and that's just 11% of the more than 41,000 people found across the city of LA, and only 7% of the more than 66,000 people counted across LA County. One of the main concerns, Larry, is about Black people experiencing homelessness. We have to note that 2,700 Black people are in Skid Row, but 21,000 Black people are across the county, and the bulk of that half are in District 2, which is South L.A.
Isn't, though, the Skid Row area the largest concentration, even though it's only 11% of the city total? Isn't that the densest concentration of people living on the streets?
It's one of the densest. There's also a very dense population, as you know, in the Venice and beach cities.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Felicia Adams Kellum, President, CEO of St. Joseph Center, an agency which serves L.A. countywide, working with people who are unhoused or at threat of losing their shelter. We're at 866-893-KPECC. I'd like to hear from you. If you live on the streets, if you live in an encampment, in your car, if you don't have shelter, you don't have a place to live, what do you think of Judge Carter's order that the city and county are, at least right now, required to provide shelter for everyone who doesn't have a place to live in the Skid Row area of downtown Los Angeles. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk page. Also with us, the CEO of Union Rescue Mission on Skid Row, the Reverend Andy Bales. Andy, good to have you back with us. Your response to Judge Carter's order.
Well, thank you, Larry. I am somewhat overjoyed. I've been praying and hoping for a decentralization of Skid Row, a regionalization of services throughout LA County. This is like an answered prayer, and I've been assisting as I can in making it happen. And I do believe the reason the judge has focused on Skid Row, and there are many more than 2,700 on Skid Row. The count's more closer to 5,000. But I do believe the focus has been, there has been a direct effort by the city and county to corral and contain people devastated by homelessness, especially people of color, for maybe five decades, and it has not ceased. It has been recent. It has been deputy sheriffs, county deputy sheriffs, bringing people and dropping them off on Skid Row and being confronted by Commander Andy Smith, as I remember in 2005. It has been L.A. County Hospital dropping off a woman at Union Rescue Mission on an IV, and she wandered in to our guest area, sat down, and perished. And that's why we set up the hospital dump cam that was so much in the news in the 2000, early 2000s, late 2010. It's been a specific attempt to corral and contain and turn our backs on people. And it has been a practice now, Larry, that we're addressing this crisis and emergency with very slow to develop, very expensive buildings, units that are ranging from 600,000 to the latest is a million per unit. We've accomplished 587 units out of a proposed 10,000 over the course of 4.5 years. And in the meantime, 5,700 people have died on the streets, and thousands will die if we continue on the status quo path that we're on.
You anticipated, Andy, my next question for you. Judge Carter rebukes the city's the housing first model of permanent housing for people, and that being the primary emphasis over immediate emergency sheltering. And it seems that, you know, the city and the county's view has been, I'm oversimplifying, that you really have to look at a longer term solution to the process, and that you've got to build additional housing that is fully subsidized if you're ever going to have a chance at, you know, getting people out of the desperation in which they live. What's your response to the judge and him saying, essentially, you need to take care of the emergency shelters first?
Well, and if people will read it more closely, he's not ruling out housing. He's calling for immediate, urgent, efficient, affordable housing, such as tiny homes and 3D concrete printed homes for $10,000 that can be put up in 24 to 48 hours and have 600 square feet and a bathroom and a kitchen. He's calling for mobile homes. And by the way, you could put up, you could buy enough land with $140 million of $1 billion and then put up 16,000 brand new three-bedroom, two-bath homes and house 48,000 total people if you spend $1 billion on mobile home communities, recovery communities. If you continue on the path of a million per unit, you'll put up 1,000 units and you'll leave 69,000 on the streets. So I heard some critics using a straw man argument today, we oppose shelter. That's not the only thing included. Creative, innovative, efficient, affordable units immediately. And it's interesting, the county and the city, well, we can't get it done in 3 months. But, you know, if you appeal for 3 months, no, you're not going to be able to get it done. and the, you know, status quo of Skid Row will remain. But this is an opportunity to change the status quo. It is a landmark decision, and I think the focus is on Skid Row because that has been the purposeful place where people have been placed for far too long. And okay. Larry, while we're talking, five people died yesterday, and five people will die today, and five people will die tomorrow if we continue with the status quo.
Felicia, what do you think of what Andy Bales is saying about the importance of this and getting those kinds of, you know, small units up immediately for people?
Well, we are in a crisis. Andy's correct. I think Andy didn't hear my stats correctly, though. I said that last count was 4,600 people in Skid Row. The number he quoted was the 2,700, and that's black people in Skid Row. So I just want to clarify that for your listeners. I definitely appreciate the proposed diversity of interim options proposed in the order. But we end homelessness with permanent housing. And yes, we're in a crisis, and yes, we are going to need all forms of housing, both shelter, interim, and permanent housing to address this crisis. But if we only address this crisis on Skid Row, I'm afraid that our Measure H funding that has been a really important building block will maybe be even sabotaged and derailed by an order that is so limited in scope. I understand where we're going with this, but all homeless people deserve to be housed. And my worry is that, and I agree with Andy, that we do need a regional approach. And if a regional approach is required, then what we will do then is address all communities that need to be serviced. We can't just simply look at one area. We must look at the entire city and county. Because quite honestly, what this could end up being is the criminalization, once again, of homeless individuals. And if people do not respond to housing opportunities, they're going to go elsewhere. And what will that do to the rest of the city and county, all of which is facing a dire crisis?
Is it realistic, though, had he said to all of the city of L.A., you know, Venice and other places with significant density of homeless residents, would it be realistic to say, you know, you've got to have shelter for everybody?
Well, if a big part of the intent is to overcome decades of racial injustice, it might make more sense from an equity standpoint to focus more on resources of areas with the largest concentration of black people experiencing homelessness, which includes, of course, Skid Row and many other densely populated areas.
All right. Let me share a comment here. What about individuals who refuse shelter or housing offered? Are they allowed to refuse? Could they still stay there? It sounds like, according to Judge Carter's order, Andy Bales, that if there's a place for people living on the streets to go, they would not be allowed to stay there overnight. And what Felicia Adams Kellum is describing seems very, very likely, that those who would be forced off the streets and don't want to go into a shelter or a trailer or something would go to Venice, would go to South LA, would go elsewhere.
Yeah, well, I would always take a compassionate approach, and I haven't read the 110-page piece enough to know what they're going to do with somebody who absolutely refuses, but I know how Whittier is doing it. They are working very patiently to put somebody in what is available or giving them their preference, and if they absolutely refuse, they just take them to the they call family first and try to connect them with family who live elsewhere and make connections with family, which is one of the biggest causes of homelessness, the breakup of families or the disintegration of families. Or they then take them to the end of the city limit and say, you wouldn't abide by our rules, you wouldn't take shelter, so make it on your own. I'm not advocating for that, but I'm just explaining what could happen in all of this.
All right. We're at 866-893-KPCC. J.O. in West Hollywood said, I was unhoused but no longer am. Has anyone talked about turning parking structures into places for the homeless to live? It seems like it'd be a much safer, more constructive way to house people without a place to live. Felicia Adams Kellum, has that been discussed?
Well, we have used an underutilized parking structure right there in South Los Angeles for structures that were provided by Governor Newsom, the RVs, and we created an amazing community for families who are getting into permanent housing faster than other modalities. So we know that use of underutilized spaces can be really important and helpful. I just want to take the time to also say that it takes time to thoughtfully house people. Steve Lopez noted in his article how long it took to house his friend Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, someone who had some true mental health issues, very talented musician and great ambitions. And it took over a year to house him thoughtfully. But what we know is if we thoughtfully house people, we can keep them housed. And St. Joseph's Center has been able to keep people housed at a 95 to 97% success rate when it's done the right way and when there's supportive services and housing. Housing First is not just about housing only. It's about wrapping supportive services around people once they're housed.
Felicia, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask about... in the models of supportive services and how long it takes to get someone to the right location, the services, when you cite a 95%, you know, success rate, when that happens, is that after, say, a year, or what? At what point do you say this has been a successful transition?
That's a good question. We look at a year. And then we look at 3 and 4 and 5 years. We've had some donors that have really been helping us track success. Honestly, we still have folks that we housed 10 years ago in the first work with the city of Santa Monica. Some of those dear people who have been able to restore their lives are still housed today. Sadly, sometimes people who are so vulnerable, they die some years after being permanently housed. But they're able to die with great dignity. And with those supportive services, they're able to really create a very stable life.
Grace in Culver City says, a couple weeks ago, I encountered a homeless woman in my neighborhood. I called police. Officer came out. The woman refused the officer's offer to take her to a shelter. And the officer said they couldn't do anything beyond that. And Grace is wondering, are there other options available for when someone refuses help? And could the private sector in any way step in if state and local government isn't doing it? Andy Bales, you want to respond to that?
Yes, and I'd say the reason it takes so long to house anybody is because there's nowhere to go because of the slow pace of the housing developed. And yes, private people can step in. Union Rescue Mission takes no government funds. We want to focus on recovery, not harm reduction, where alcohol and drugs flow freely, and people could support Union Rescue Mission at urm.org. We're opening up a satellite for families in South LA. We have Hope Gardens out in Sylmar. We hope to create satellites throughout town. And there are private groups that are doing a great job and making a difference. And if you find somebody on the streets and you need help, you can call me at 626-260-4761. I'll send an Uber and pick them up and get them the help they need. And we can accomplish this, even as crazy as it sounds to house everybody on Skid Row in the next 3 to 6 months. We can do it if we all work together. And then I do believe it's taking on the whole county and making sure we do not leave precious human beings on the streets. As I said, five people die today, five people will die tomorrow if we don't do this.
It's heartbreaking. Andy, just one quick question. Jacqueline tweets at AirTalk, there are complications with this. Skid Row is a city within a city and home to many who need services, from haircuts to meds. House them near services, it could work, but that's a lot of map dotting. So, Andy, just real quickly, is it important that those that are sheltered, who are living on the streets in Skid Row, stay close to the people that they know there and the services they use there?
It will be, but I do believe we have to offer housing outside of Skid Row. Otherwise, we continue with a corralling and containment policy of leaving precious human beings with not enough services. There aren't even enough restrooms and toilets and showers, and there is insufficient of all services on Skid Row. So we need to recreate services throughout the county so people have a choice and don't just have to retreat to Skid Row as they have in the past.
All right. We have Jeffrey who writes on the page, until we build and staff proper mental health care facilities, the majority of chronically homeless with severe mental illness, including substance abuse, will never be helped. We need to eliminate the IMD exclusion and provide comprehensive health care and rehabilitation facilities. Your guests must be able to address this critical issue. And we have April in South L.A. says, for the past five decades of trying to house people, we need to revamp the system because those overseeing it are not assisting. Many advocates are disingenuous and just making money. Valicia, quick response to April's comment.
Well, I understand April's concern, and I believe that Judge Carter is acting in good faith. I know he has a good heart. I want to just tie us back to the fact that we need a regional response. Yes, Skid Row it really does feel and look like ground zero, but I'm concerned about the rush to meet the order demands for action and spending, that there could be the potential undermining of Measure HHH and Measure H. To use those funds for temporary shelter. And there really is no way to end homelessness without investing in permanent housing. Yes, we need solutions that are more innovative, that come to fruition at a faster rate. But I do believe that there are such great intentioned service providers out there like St. Joseph's Center that are doing all we can. But it will take all of us together to address this great crisis, which has been years and years and years and years in the making. And baked in that is the overrepresentation of Black people due to structural racism. And if we're going to address the overrepresentation of Black people, we must look at where Black people are. And they're not just concentrated in Skid Row. They are in other areas. And I believe, again, that all homeless people deserve services and all communities need to be the focus of this effort.
All right. Thank you very much, as always, Valicia Adams-Kellum. She's the president, CEO of St. Joseph Center. Also, our thanks to the Reverend Andy Bales, CEO of Union Rescue Mission. We're going to put Andy's phone number up on the Air Talk page at kpecc.org. I know there are several requests for that, and I'm sure he will get back to you on your question. We'll continue with the very latest on COVID-19. Dr. Dean Blumberg, one of our esteemed experts on the novel coronavirus, joins us from UC Davis Children's Hospital. We'll be back in 1 minute.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.